Says Ozarks at Large, a few months ago, The Lark and the Loon released a new album. The album's title, Two, has multiple meanings. The band is a duo comprised of Jeff and Rocky Rolfson. It is also the second album the band has released in as many years, and the album contains a series of duets. Earlier this year, Jeff and Rocky stopped by the Furman Garner Performance Studio at KUAF to talk about the new album and to perform a few cuts from it for Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis.
This little song we wrote called Eye of the Storm.
Walk with me, walking around, thinking we were somebody else. Break a leg, knock 'em dead, do everything the director said. Walking around, thinking we were somebody else.
You know
sticks and stones
that I tried,
break my bones,
but that's not
cut my hair.
Hair.
And you can draw me up before you bury me,
but you won't see me there.
And then I brush the kinds of powder on, but I was intertwined.
But if I find a way out,
I'm gonna make sure that it's mine.
And if you
talk with me,
oh, and I'll give all I've got to give.
You might feel secure living in the eye of the storm, but I wouldn't do it not about somebody else. Keep it up, don't give in to everything that you can to win. Folks out there thinking we were somebody else. Dim the lights, take a bow. Nobody cares about you now. They were just there thinking we were somebody else.
You know
sticks and stones
that I tried,
my bones,
but that's not
cut my hair.
And you can draw your head a little
bit,
but you won't see me there. And there are two kinds of fortune,
flowers wrapped in twine.
But if I find a way out,
you better make sure that it's mine.
And
if
and that
talk with
me, oh, and I'll give all I've got to give.
You might feel secure living in the eye of the storm, but I wanna do it not about somebody else.
You recorded this in New Orleans, right?
We did, yes. We recorded it in about 3 days.
Oh,
is
wow.
That about I think four
three
days.
Or four
three
days.
Or 4 days, yeah. It went fast.
Yep, in New Orleans. And recording it there was a lot different from recording our album in Santa Fe, which is where we cut the previous record. So it had a very different sound and feel just by being down there.
Yeah. Homestead Hands we did in Santa Fe because it's dry. You're up high. There's like that desert feeling, and we wanted that sort of dust bowl aura to the record. And New Orleans is more wet. You know, it's got this vibrant energy to it. We wanted to try to kind of capture that and surround ourselves in a lot of the culture that influenced this record, honestly.
Am I wrong, but did you record this in the studio that the Preservation Hall Jazz Band has recorded in?
We did, yeah.
What was that like? I mean, did that give you pause going into the same studio as such a renowned group?
It was an absolutely amazing experience. You definitely felt something very special being in the studio, and we had Rick Nelson engineer and play upright bass on the album, which was absolutely incredible. He's such a talented person to have worked with, and so he made the experience really comfortable. You know, I think the space is very important, but when recording, the most important thing is person in the room is the engineer, and it can make or break a recording experience. And Rick made us feel so comfortable, and it just kind of felt like the whole thing just flew off the tongue and out of our fingers so smoothly and easily, and it just turned into a great project. But he obviously has worked with a lot of fabulous musicians in that studio, and you can feel the presence of big names being in there. So maybe we were on our toes a little bit wanting to do a really good job and maybe impress our engineer a little bit. I don't know. But yes, there was definitely quite an array of emotions we felt recording in there and in New Orleans. I mean, it was just such a wonderful opportunity, and I'm so grateful we were able to cut the album there. And we do have a lot of music influenced by pre-war jazz and blues, which, you know, that's really one of the biggest pulses of that music from that era, you know, came out of New Orleans. So it's very special being able to record in such a timeless place like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was the Marigny Studio, and it's right outside of the French Quarter. And I'm trying to remember what the history of the building was, but there was a stage in the building. There's this beautiful grand piano, and there was this huge, ugly disco ball thing going on in the middle of it. And Rick, who owns the studio, kind of told us the history of it. It used to be, what was it, like a speakeasy or like a burlesque theater for a little while. And then it was a jazz club, and then it sort of turned over into all these other, it's always been a performance
all
venue.
All sorts of musical spirits moving through
yeah,
there.
Yeah, so there's just so much cool energy. If those walls, you know, could talk, there's probably a lot of really cool stories in that space.
Yeah. Well, did recording in that space or just recording in New Orleans in general, did that change the songs any by the time you got there?
I don't know if it did. I think we had been to New Orleans, I don't know how many times in the year prior to this record. It definitely influenced the record, like being there as much as we had been over the last year. But I don't know if the session itself did per se.
I mean, I can't speak for Jeff, but I feel like my delivery was different just by being there. I think I was just really excited to be recording in one of my favorite cities in the United States. So probably being there made it.
It definitely helped the performance,
but
yeah.
No, we tried to stay pretty grounded in our recording. We practiced and demoed out our songs before we went in this time.
And Rick was great to work with. You know, he's in the Afghan Whigs. He's one of the founding members of the Polyphonic Spree. And he's this master arranger of strings for a lot of people, and he's the engineer for the Preservation Jazz Hall Band as well for a lot of the recordings that they do. And so working with him alone, he had this really soft touch with everything, and he wasn't really producing things, but he could really hone in on what we were trying to do and get the best performances out of us with very minimal effort. And I think that helps a lot to have kind of a pro like that who's in New Orleans recording music.
Or he was hiding the effort. Maybe we were really difficult to work with, and he just put on a poker face.
Did a very good job at that, if that's the case.
We had a wonderful time.
So normally y'all perform as a duo. How was it to have a bass player helping on these songs?
It was awesome. It was interesting because we had never performed with a bassist. I think we had a few times, but not regularly. So going in there and having this renowned string multi-instrumentalist want to play on our recording was fabulous. We're always about, you know, spicing up the music here and there. We welcome people to sit in with us if they know the style and know the chords and all that. So it definitely boosted the recording and really helped fill out the songs, I would say.
Yeah, we went in there with this idea that it was going to be, we're going to call the record two, it was going to be duets, it was just going to be two people playing these songs. And it was kind of funny because when we first showed up there, Rick was setting up all the mics on the very first day. And he said, if you want me, I can, you know, throw a little bass in this record. And we were like, all right, you know, whatever, like engineer guy like wants to try to get on the record, whatever, dude, you know. And I knew that he had some, you know, pretty good credibility to him. But we were so set going into it that we wanted to just be the two of us on this recording. And then I think it was like maybe 4 or 5 hours into the first day. I think we did. They were all 8-hour days, and about halfway through it, we started talking. We're like, "You should just bring your bass tomorrow." And he lit up, and he was early tuning that thing the next day. And the moment we heard him pluck a string, just tuning it, we're like, "This is gonna sound great."
We were just so lucky to have worked with someone who really cared from start to finish. And Justin, who mastered the record, also works at Marini, did a fabulous job. Mm-hmm. Couldn't recommend the studio enough. We just had an overall fabulous time, whole experience start to finish, which isn't always the case when it comes to music.
Well, you've recorded 3 different albums in 3 different studios. Have you learned anything about your music or just performing in general by recording in different spaces?
Well, the first album was cut in our home. It was a home recording, so I guess it was at the studio of the Lark and the Loon in their house. And that was quite the project because you're at home, you can be so meticulous. If you hear one thing that doesn't sound right, you can go back and record it. And it was really fun having options, I would say, to do that and just kind of chuck away at our own pace. But oh my gosh, it was so nice just to be able to go into a studio, let all the music out, have the product, you know, finished recording, and move away from it and accept it. So I actually really liked recording in a professional studio. I like home recording as well. But there's something that puts you on the edge of your toes when there's somebody else in the room with you. And just getting a third opinion, I think, was really good
like
for us this
when
time.
When you're paying for it and it's somebody else's time and there's another set of ears
listening
to what you're
doing. We
were a lot
more prepared going into a professional studio. Not saying ours isn't. But.
And it's funny with two, because Homestead Hands we did live. Pretty much the entire record is all just live takes. And that one we did in 2 days, I want to say, and then we mixed the entire thing on the third day, and then we walked out with it mixed. And that was really fun, and 6 weeks later we did two. So there was very little turnaround time. And we went in to the sessions in New Orleans. We had binders, and all of our arrangements were there. All of our chord sheets were there. We had really spent a lot of time focusing on what harmony lines each of us was going to be singing and what sorts of counter melodies we wanted to have, because there's a lot of vocal layering on this album. And this one we did almost all track. There's 2 live takes in the entire record. The very first track is live, and then Let Me In is done live. And the other 10 tracks are all comp tracked.
And talking about having a third opinion in the room, and the importance of that is we went into the studio, we went into Marini planning on cutting all the songs live, because that's how we'd practiced it, that's what we wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And after a couple of takes, Rick suggested that we should track all of the pieces instead. And at first we were like, I don't know, we just want to do it live. It's what
we
wanted to do. And then we went ahead and tracked a couple of pieces, and it sounded way better for this particular recording. So he was completely accurate in needing to track the rest of the songs. And that was definitely helpful in making the record happen.
It's hard with acoustic music sometimes. When you play acoustic music like we do, you want everything to be live. And people get really heady about it. They'll say, like, I want my voice and my guitar to be playing at the same time. I don't want to isolate them in the recording. And there's a lot of beliefs about harmonics and your instrument vibrating with your voice or whatever. And it can get really complicated.
There's a lot to be said about it.
Yeah, but we decided to try it out. And I think for this record, it worked out a lot.
Yeah, it opened my eyes to tracking music
differently.
It's not a bad thing.
So your first album featured your dog on the cover. Two has a cat inside of it.
It's really funny. I thought you were talking about Homestead Hands. We had somebody come up to us at a show in we were in Red Lodge, Montana, and they came up and were like, "Is your cat here?" And we just put out Homestead Hands, and we were like, "What are you talking about?" And he's like, "Your cat, the cat that's inside of your CD, and it's our Chihuahua in a bag of apples." And we're like, no, that's a dog.
I didn't even see that picture.
Yeah, that one's on the inside of Homestead Hands. So actually, it's funny you point that out, because Penny Lane is our dog on the front of Songbirds and Fog. And then Bella is our Chihuahua rat terrier, and she's on the inside of Homestead Hands. And then Two has Farthingale, our cat, on the inside of it. And we have 3 pets, so each record we decided to incorporate our pet into the artwork.
Oh, and the cat has an interesting getup as well.
Yes, he's dressed up for the occasion. He's taking a cat nap after a long night out on the town swinging.
Yeah, he's got a top hat on.
Where did the idea for that picture come from?
Well, he got really jealous that the dogs were in the past two albums, so he said that I need to be in this next album cover, so we decided to throw a little hat on him when he was taking a nap one day. It was only fair to feature him, so.
We knew we wanted to use him somewhere, and yeah.
He's such a cutie, too.
We found a little hat, and we're like, this will be perfect. And so we waited for him to fall asleep, and we just threw it on him, and he took to it really well. He didn't care, and he just wore it, and we took a bunch of pictures and sent them to Jameson, who did our design, and he picked one that he really liked.
Which, yes, our designer, Jameson, I always forget to mention him. He's really helped us out with all of our albums. But this album cover is just amazing.
Really good job on it, yeah.
Inside, yeah. Outside.
I know you can't see it on the radio, but it looks great. It's all original artwork on the front and back cover.
Trying to encourage you to check it out. If you don't like the music, check out the album cover for the art and the inset. Order one.
We're the Lark and the Loon. This is a song we wrote called Misfortune.
These old handbags are breaking down. Soles of my shoes are worn to the ground. I think I know who's been hanging around. It's hey, Misfortune, why you keep a fight? Chase it, but it got picked up instead. I think I might know who's wearing it now. Well, it's hey, Misfortune, why you keep following me? I said, hey, Misfortune,
sun, rain, and snow.
I said, hey, Misfortune,
why don't you go on home?
I said, hey, Misfortune, when you gonna leave me alone?
Around, my car got washed away. I think I know who's driving around. Well, it's hey, Misfortune, why you keep following me?
I said, hey, Misfortune,
sun, rain, and snow.
I said, hey, Misfortune,
why don't you go on home?
I said, hey, Misfortune, when you gonna leave me alone?
She found a lover. He's that proud Sir Kyle of Fire.
Rumor has it they've been seen around town. Effortlessly getting everything they desire.
Drag me round like a broken kite. Even a smile seemed to spill out spite. It feels like there's no end in sight. Well, it's hey, Misfortune, why you keep a following me?
And the circadal fire.
I said, hey, Misfortune,
strip me down to the wire.
I can't stand that gal, and I can't stand the man beside her. Well, I said, hey, Misfortune,
hey, Misfortune.
I said, hey, Misfortune,
why don't you go on home?
I said, hey, Misfortune, when you gonna leave me alone?
I said, hey, Misfortune,
sun, rain, and snow.
I said, hey, Misfortune,
why don't you go?
I said, hey, Misfortune, when you gonna leave me alone? Leave me alone. I said, hey, Misfortune, time for you to leave me alone.
Jeff and Rocky Ralston performing as the Lark and the Loon inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio at KUAF. You can find their album, Two, on Spotify, Bandcamp, and other streaming music platforms. And if you'd like to know more about the band, you can visit thelarkandtheloon.com. By the way, the next time they are performing near the KUAF listening area will be August 24th at the Westport Saloon in Kansas City.